Some of the expressions that we hear used in our country are very, very odd if we stop to think about them. For example, sometime this week, a person may say to us, "The phone has been ringing off the wall today." Have you ever thought about that expression? I think if we thought about the words literally, we probably would not say them, because not one of us believes that we will receive a number of phone calls during a day. And the number is sufficient to literally bring that phone off the wall or to cause it to fall off a desk. There's some words and expressions, though, that we use to convey various points. Sometimes we want to stress or emphasize something, and sometimes it's just perhaps a way to get our attention. But words and expressions are not only means of communication, but they are very interesting. In other cases, we see that as we look at a word, we can alter its meaning, sometimes greatly or dramatically, by simply changing a few letters at the beginning or the end of the word. Take, for example, the word encouragement. If we take that word encouragement and we remove the first two letters, the E-N, and we replace the E-N with D-I-S, we have now changed from encouragement to discouragement. It's a very small change as far as altering the word, but the meaning as far as what it now means is vastly different. This is our topic for tonight. We want to give consideration to the fact that people can be discouraged. Spouses can become discouraged, just as children in a home may become discouraged. As people think about their work, they can sometimes be discouraged with that. Or as people think about their health or their age, they can be discouraged about those things. When people face financial problems, that can be a source of discouragement. Even something as simple as bad weather can discourage people, whether it's cold or rainy. When we look at those who have become Christians, we find that individuals will sometimes become discouraged for various reasons. If we ever choose to teach, we need to prepare ourselves for some discouragement. Teachers may be discouraged because of the number of students who come. They may wish that they had 5 or 10 or 15 or more students in the class, but it may be that they have 3 students or 2 students or 1 student, or maybe on some occasions, no students. Teachers may spend a great deal of time as far as preparation, but the number of children who come, as we said, may be few to none. Teachers are sometimes discouraged because the actions of the parents that the kids are trying to teach. Sometimes the parents do things that discourage them. They may be discouraged by the actions taken by a congregation's eldership. Discouragement is something that can come from a lot of different sources. When those times come, and they will, we don't have to be a teacher, I'd like to suggest this evening that it's good to go back and look at some of the discouragement in Jesus' life. When we look at the life of Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John especially, we find that Jesus faced some very discouraging times, especially as he tried to teach people. One of the times that stands out, at least in my mind, is found in John chapter 7. On this occasion, as with many other occasions, Jesus was trying to teach people. And as you look at the 7th chapter of John, you find in verse 32 that there were officers, there were officials, who were sent to arrest the Lord. And I don't know about you, but that verse encourages me as a Christian. If we're trying to teach, there are going to be occasions where, as we try to offer instruction to others, there will be some people who are not all that interested. We may be trying to teach our own children. We may be trying to offer instruction to a coworker, or maybe it's a Bible class situation, or who knows who it is. And in spite of our best efforts, maybe we've prepared the best that we can, and we've done everything that we know to do. But for whatever reason, there are going to be some people in that class, or maybe everybody in the class does not want to learn. But even though that may be a very discouraging time, it's fair to say that there's a real good chance that no one is going to be sent to arrest us. Imagine trying to help people learn about the most important thing in the world, God and salvation, spiritual things, and authorities come to arrest us. Most of us will never face that kind of thing as far as a threat, let alone the actual event. In the next chapter of John chapter 8, verses 38 through 40, we find an occasion where Jesus was again trying to teach people. But on this particular occasion, the folks were so hostile to the Lord that they wanted to kill him. As teachers, we may face some very discouraging times, and I do not want this evening to minimize that fact, to diminish it, because that is a fact of life. But I would like us to bear in mind that as we come to discouraging times, and as I said, we will, we need to keep them in perspective. The master teacher faced a level of discouragement several times in his life that we surely will never face. If Jesus was able to soldier on during these times, then we can as well. Teachers often face discouragement from the people who do not like them, or maybe they do not like their class or something else. This past week, I spoke with a woman not from here, who is going through some very difficult times in her family. She has a son, young son, who's probably about 12 years old, who's being bullied. Not only is her son being bullied, but I mean, he's being beaten up by other children. And it's fair to say that this young man has some enemies at the school where he attends. Enemies can discourage us. They can discourage us in the younger years, whether we are 2 or 5 or 10 or 15 or 20, and they can discourage us in the older years. Teachers sometimes have to deal maybe not necessarily with an enemy, but with someone who is not real friendly towards their instruction. That's a problem. It's also possible that as we go through life and we try to teach people that it's not an enemy that's trying to discourage us, but it is a friend. And that's true for this young man. The young fellow who's been beaten up a couple of times, he has some friends. But it's discouraging to him. It's discouraging to his father. It's discouraging to his mother that his buddies are not sticking up for him. If Jesus had some enemies he tried to teach that discouraged him, we'd expect to find that he also had some friends that he tried to teach. And they also, for various reasons, discouraged him. And that's exactly right. Jesus had special friends. We know them as the apostles. And there were times when the apostles discouraged him. Jesus was trying to communicate various points, and sometimes these fellows just didn't get it. You may recall in Matthew chapter 16 that Jesus was offering some instruction to Peter. Peter had made a great connection. He'd drawn a wonderful conclusion that Jesus was the Christ. And then shortly thereafter, Peter had an idea for the Lord's life that, well, going to Jerusalem and suffering, that's not really a wise thing. And he opposed Jesus to the point where the Lord had to say, "Get behind me, Satan. You're trying to follow Satan's will, Peter, not heaven's will." Today, there are going to be times where teachers find not only discouragement from the people who are not really enthused about them or their teaching, but sometimes their students, their friends, are also going to be a source of discouragement. It's possible to teach, to offer instruction, and sometimes adults or children simply do not grasp the material, and that is a discouraging thing for anyone who tries to teach. Imagine for a moment that we are a teacher in a school system, a public school system, and it's our job to teach a basic subject such as math or English. And we, as we go through that school year, we offer the best instruction that we can. And we get to the end of that school year and we look back and we think of how we tried to, you know, have material prepared and we tried to teach day after day after day. But as we look at the end of the school year, we find that the students have really not learned anything. They do not know much more at the end of the year than they knew when they first started the class. Their math is not better, much better. Their English is not much better. And, you know, if they had not been in the class, they probably would be in about the same place. In more cases than not, I think that teacher would begin to question his or her effectiveness. Certainly there would be some discouragement. Jesus faced a similar thing with his friends. There must have been some times in the Lord's life when he was extremely frustrated with the apostles. Are your heads that thick? How long does it take before you're going to understand what I'm trying to communicate? If we try to teach, we will also face those same kinds of frustrations and same periods of discouragement. And that's part of being a teacher. It's par for the course. It does not mean that we have erred. It does not mean that we've been lazy or we've messed up. It does not mean that we've done something wrong, because Jesus himself faced that kind of thing. Discouragement sometimes is the thing that befalls people because individuals will close their mind to the truth. Two passages are on the list to read tonight. The first one is going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm about to read that. In this particular passage, Paul tells a young preacher to preach the word. Get the Bible out, Timothy, and preach the gospel. The apostle warned Timothy that there would come a time when people would not be all that interested in the gospel. Paul said that they would close their ears. He knew that some would not be receptive to the truth. Trying to teach when people do not want to hear what we are offering as far as the instruction that we want to give is discouraging. Here's what we find in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. And there will be some, Paul says, who will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. Imagine what we have being described here. Paul said to the young evangelists, there are going to be some people who in their lives, they not only turn away from the truth, they turn to something else. I submit that here is one of the most discouraging things any Christian, and that certainly includes preachers, can experience. Seeing someone say no to the truth is absolutely heart-wrenching. A rejection of the truth is a major source of discouragement. But you know, that's not as bad as it can be. Seeing someone say no to the truth and then turning and say yes to a religious error, that's about as bad as it gets. God warns those who teach that this is a very real possibility. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. So as we try to teach, and again, that's going to come about in different ways in life, we need to brace ourselves. We need to be prepared for the times of discouragement. There will probably be some times when we simply need to hang on because things will be difficult. We may have critics who complain as we try to teach, and that's discouraging. In some cases, it may seem like we're in a virtual tug of war, but God in those cases wants us to persevere and encourages us to persevere because of the life that we have recorded concerning Jesus, the apostles, and other faithful saints. God simply tells us to try to teach people. We may find discouraging circumstances, but we can still stay faithful to that charge. The next passage, if you want to begin turning to it, is found in the book of John. It's in John chapter 6, verse 26. And I cite this passage in conjunction with motives. Sometimes it is discouraging to teach people because we find individuals who have a bad motivation. In John 6, verse 24, we learn that there were some people who sought Jesus. I mean, they were eager. These folks were anxious to find the Lord. Now, one might think, well, Jesus was teaching prior to this time, and the people appreciated his teaching, and they wanted to hear more. They were coming back for additional instruction, but John says, oh, they wanted to see him, but it was not for that reason. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, ye seek me, I know you're after me, not because ye saw the signs, but here's the reason. Ye ate of the loaves, and ye were filled. Mark it down. There were some people who sought out the Lord because he had been the source for free food. When we find people who act in this way today, they have motives which are not good, or they are impure, or they are somehow deficient or defective. That is a major source of discouragement. I'll tell you firsthand that anyone who has ever served as an elder in the Lord's church or will serve, when they deal with people who have bad motives, that is a discouragement to them. When preachers deal with people who have bad motives, that's a discouragement to them. When deacons deal with people with bad motives, or it's a Bible class teacher, or it's any other faithful member of the church, or it's a parent, or it's a spouse, or it's a coworker, bad motives discourage people. When we try to find, teach people, and we find out that their interest was just physical or something else, it is discouraging. But even in those cases, our discouragement should be limited. Because our job is to teach, and to teach in the best way that we possibly can. We can wish, and certainly it's a noble thing, to hope that people would have good motives or the motives will improve in the future. But whatever happens with them and their motivation, our job, our task, is to teach. And if that's what we do, all will be okay, ultimately. There were many times in the Lord's life when discouragement was present, and Jesus could have said, based on those times, I've had enough. This is the last time. I'm so discouraged, I have just come to the end of things, and finally I'm going to quit. I've not always had success, so I'm not going to continue on. That's not what we find. Jesus was not a quitter, even when people wanted to arrest him, even when people wanted to kill him. And God says that this divine example is the model for us. Discouragement is going to come to us in our life, whether we're a Bible class teacher or not. If we are not yet convinced of that particular point, that's something that we need to come to grips with because it is a fact of life. As Jesus did not give up in the face of discouragement, that needs to be true for us individually. We must refuse to give up after the first example of discouragement, and then when it happens a second time, we need to say, okay, I overcame it, I beat it the first time, and I'm not going to give up now. Over a person's lifetime, they will face dozens, maybe hundreds or more than 100 times of discouragement. And some of those times are going to be church-related. Not all of them in the church will be based or related to teaching, but at least some will. Every discouragement that we meet head-on will help us be better prepared for future ones. Jesus faced many discouragements, and we could have listed many more tonight. But as you look at his life, you find that he really got to one that must have been, if not the major, certainly a major discouragement. And it's found in Matthew 26, verse 56. And it's an interesting reference, but I'm going to give you the gist of it. Not long before the crucifixion, Matthew 26, 56 says, all, A-L-L, the disciples fled. Now, this was so important that Matthew associates it with Old Testament prophecy. God knew this was such a significant event that it was predicted several hundred years in advance. This discouragement in the Lord's life is probably impossible for any of us to fully comprehend. Here were men that Jesus had loved for more than 3 years. Here were men that Jesus had personally taught for more than 3 years. Here were men that Jesus had personally rescued on more than one occasion. And had just two of the apostles forsaken the Lord on this occasion, that would have been heart-wrenching. If 50% of the apostles had said, we're not going to stay with the program, can you imagine the agony and the discouragement that would have been in Jesus' heart before going to the cross? Suppose that 75% of the apostles had left. All hope would have seemed lost. If 90% of the apostles had left, things surely would have seemed unbearable. But Matthew says, they all fled. I think that deserves to be underlined in the Bible. Here's a lesson that we need to mark down and never forget. Jesus knows all about discouragement. He's been there. He's seen it. Top, bottom, right, left. No matter how you look at discouragement, Jesus knows exactly how that feels. So when we get discouraged in life, turning back to Him and God's Word should be a major source of encouragement for us. Jesus was someone who knew that the hard times were going to be replaced by better times. He knew that even though the apostles fled, that was going to be a temporary departure. They would return, and they were going to be faithful. That's precisely what we see. We should have a similar outlook as we try to carry out God's will, especially as things are related to teaching. We are sowing seeds in the lives of others that may, for a period of time, seem to be in a weed patch. They may not seem to be producing much fruit for a period of time. But oftentimes, as the years go by, those weeds are pulled up. And that crop that we tried to plant, and maybe it seems so weak and sickly and puny, and boy, I mean, we just thought there's not much hope here in this garden patch. We're wasting our time. And we were discouraged. But we kept planting. We kept working. We did all that we could. Oftentimes, those weeds are removed later in life, and people turn out to be strong and wonderful Christians. We work. We pray. We have the faith to encourage others, and we believe that all will be okay in the end. Satan is a creature that wants us to be discouraged. God is someone who wants us to be encouraged. And you know, each of those spiritual beings holds out their hand, if you will. Discouragement here, encouragement here, and we get to decide which path that we want to take. Encouragement or discouragement? God says we get to choose. Well, I know I've made my choice. What about you? Discouragement, the devil. Encouragement, God. It's an important choice. And I, for the life of me, do not know why someone would want to take the discouragement road, the way of Satan. That's part of the white road. And that's not the way to live. Tonight, things are not always going to be easy. Times of discouragement are going to come. But they can be overcome. And tonight, we hope that that's true for you. That you become a Christian. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. You've met those steps. And that has encouraged you. And that you have found courage to continue to live the Christian life. Tonight, if you've been discouraged, as a teacher or as a Christian, and we can help encourage you to restore you to live the kind of life that's not always easy, but it's the kind of life that leads to life eternal. We'd like to do that, and we invite you to make that need known as we stand and sing the selected song.
There's a fountain free just for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its spring. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? Will you come to the fountain?
Before services started, Brian told me about a situation. I don't know all the details, and I'm not sure about the motivation, but a preacher was shot in Illinois today. Somebody apparently just walked up to the pulpit area.